HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Indian companies are racing to adapt environmental, social and governance or ESG norms on rising pressure from investors and regulators. Wave of ESG-focused funds have hit India too, with domestic ESG funds AUM or asset under management at ₹9,800 crore in FY21, with 7 of 10 such funds launching post-June last year. So, our companies that have missed opportunities due to lack of ESG norms are now catching up quickly. Has the pandemic also added urgency for companies to become ESG compliant to attract investors? To discuss that, I'm joined by Samitosh Mohapatra, Leader ESG Energy Utilities and Resources, PwC India. Hi Samitosh, welcome to the show.
Hi Nasreen.
So, Samitosh, as we speak, there's a lot of conversation around the ESG focus funds, companies getting more compliant towards ESG, and there's a general consciousness among companies to become ESG compliant. Now, I understand we are just passing through a pandemic, but do you think that in the last 1 year, companies, especially the large listed ones, have fastened their pace to be ESG compliant?
So, thanks, Nasreen, for having me over. Quite an interesting topic to discuss. But let me start by saying that the focus on sustainability and elements around ESG was always there, right? And across not only the large listed companies that you refer to, but even in private MNCs, be it unicorns or family-owned businesses. So this as a focus area was always there. It was differentiated in maturity, maybe across geographies. Right, and I'm talking about not only India, outside India also, across certain sectors and where you are positioned in the value chain. And I would also be candid to admit that the focus was also differentiated across elements of environment, social and governance to an extent. So it was there. I just wanted to put a baseline there. What has also influenced the growth is that sometimes the access to technology or the regulations like carbon taxes or renewable purchase obligations or markets that is available in that country, be it the CDM market, and access to finance also dictated the response of corporates to it. The regulations in the past have always been towards a bolt-on kind of a strategy, right? So ESG was never core to the organization's strategy. So all that is now coming to bear because we believe that the shareholder focus has now become more stakeholder focus. The conversations is driven by increased pressure from providers of capital, as we call it. So yes, the pressure is there. And I admit that the corporates are taking an exploratory approach. I would still say they have started engaging in conversations around ESG, but it is still exploratory, I would say. Other interesting thing is because the conversations have also been around purpose, right? And why you are in business, who you are as a company, what's your impact on the world. So similarly, how do you align your business model to the needs of the society? How do you report and what do you report? How do we engage with people, not only your own employees, but your customers, your communities that you are operating in? So these are set of questions which were never there, right? And the stakeholder ecosystem has also increased from a shareholder to a broader set of community, employees, vendors, governments, regulators, customers. So therefore, interesting times, I would say, Anashree.
Why do you think that companies have become conscious of this ESG? Is it because there are funds outside India which are looking and hunting for companies which are very, very ESG compliant? Or is it that there is a self-consciousness or awakening up here as well in India because of the pandemic or because of the climate change?
So if I were to respond, yes, financial investors and providers of wealth have hastened the ESG consciousness, as you rightly put it. But it is also to do with some of the outcomes which have happened, right? So if you look at, while past data may not be enough, because we still believe that in the future it has to be a leap of faith and the data will not provide the kind of impact in the future we will have in terms of outcomes. But we have honestly seen a differentiated and distinctive feature of companies which were very strong on ESG. And this was very clearly connected to the kind of ratings that they had, the kind of valuations that they enjoyed in the market, the license to operate that they had in developed economies. Similarly, the kind of access to varied and sustainable finance they had. And of course, the brand and market perception that they enjoyed in the market. We have seen resilience in the supply chain during the pandemic for some of these companies which had planned well, and I would say strongly ESG linked. The kind of access to customers and the premium in terms of pricing that they dictated in the market. And even with the way they engaged with communities. So if I were to look at the past decade, there is an established, outcomes which a strong ESG company have derived and across stakeholders, as I mentioned to you. So therefore, there is a very clear, visible track record on how a strong ESG company has differentiated and distinctively from a weak ESG company. One, what I am seeing in the next 3 years, I'll be very, let me put it out into four trends that we will see, right? One is that we are seeing conversations where there is a lot of planning for integrating elements of climate, social, corporate governance into what they call it as an ESG transformation. So from a risk and value protection oriented approach to planning for a value creation and delivering positive social and environmental impact is one element, which is where we're seeing conversations happening. Second, there is also a respect for growing importance of broader stakeholders. Earlier, you were only responsive to shareholders. Now they are accepting that there is a broader stakeholder group and what is material to them should be considered when making key business decisions. And as I was referring, and the third element is about not to have a bolt-on strategy, which was in the past, but to actually make ESG the core strategy, right, to develop. So I would very candidly say that apart from ESG and digital transformation would go hand in hand in designing a strategy today in terms of the business model. And the fourth element is around the reporting. What do you do as a reporting and how do you communicate that? In India, we just had SEBI coming out with the BRSR norms for the top 100 listed companies, right, in terms of market cap. This year, it is on voluntary basis, but next year, it will come in mandatorily. So how do you report what all you do and how do you communicate that to the broader stakeholders become important. So yes, I would say that these are the four trends that we are seeing, and that will be the trend over the next 2 to 3 years.
Right. But, you know, Samitosh, in India, no, we don't have a standard ESG reporting or a disclosure. I know what SEBI guidelines is only about your sustainability, and that that's only for the 100 companies now, and that next year the numbers will increase. So without an ESG standard rating or a benchmarking, how do ESG focused investors identify companies, and what do you think would be those bases? I understand sustainability impact investing would be one. But besides that, besides the usual ones?
I would differ a little in terms of saying that, yes, there is no standard ESG rating and benchmark, if you ask me candidly. But there are global rating frameworks that are widely used and quite prevalent across Indian corporates, right? Be it the DJSI, MSCI, Thomas Reuters, Sustainalytics, CSR Hub. So these are a lot of these frameworks and benchmark guidelines which are there, and people do report onto them because a lot of our companies do access markets outside India and they have to follow certain norms there. Similarly, there is a lot of information which is also available across these frameworks, and they are engaged with corporates. So be it the SASB or the GRI or the TCFD, CDP and all of that. And we did have the SEBI regulations on BRR, right, for the 500, and now it will be for 1,000. Right. So people do have a view on what is expected out of them as they report. And BRSR, I'll be honest to admit, it's a very, very comprehensive framework which has been put out by a market regulator. So when these financial investors want to invest in a company in India today, what they do is they do conduct due diligences, right? And these are ESG diligences that is happening. And I believe they look at some of these, corporates in the three lenses that, as I understand. One is they very clearly, and I'm saying about all these ESG mutual funds or when you're making any investment in a corporate, three criteria, I would say. One is a filtration criteria, more or less. What companies to exclude, what companies to include, right? So that becomes literally based on your performance across various parameters, across different international frameworks. I do select certain companies. The second is about the sector and themes. There are these ESG funds who are very clear on which are the sectors that they want to invest in and what themes they want to invest in going forward, which are more ESG, strong on ESG. And the third, I would say, is comparative. Sometimes what happens is, yes, I will have to invest in a, suppose, extractive or a mining industry, but I will only invest within that ecosystem, which is best in class or what is comparatively the better one. So sometimes these three filtration criteria, I would say, are taken in when I'm doing an ESG due diligence before I make any investment there.
All last few months, all that we've been hearing is companies announcing a lot of, sustainable or climate change related announcements, like reducing your carbon footprints or reducing your carbon emission, all of that. The question is, do you think that social and corporate governance issues are getting sidelined while environmental issues are getting all the attention by the company to become ESG relevant? Now, my question also comes because we as an Indian, India, we are not a developed country. What is a social norm for us may not be the same standard for the European countries. So how do investors actually weigh those?
So as we discussed, when the investors come in, they do have very clear frameworks on ESG.
Yeah, but suppose a European investor wants to identify companies in India, and I understand the E part, E will always be same, but G also may be same, but S part, the social implication. Now, does the standard for social implication is same for European countries or European standard for India as well?
Yeah, so the frameworks more or less outline that. What is important is that let's understand that let's go back to India, right? So our ESG ecosystem is still evolving and our corporates are still in the phase of explorations, right? We have seen action and a lot of debate happening on the environment side, like you rightly said, over the last two decades. Sometimes I feel it gets more limelight because in many situations, the E part of it requires substantial investments and has a gestation period, right? So suppose you want to move from energy sourcing, so where you are, to a clean energy, it requires a significant investment. Suppose you want to change your water sourcing, suppose you want to recycle the plastics that you generate. So be it on products, services, be it on technology, this requires a gestation period. So therefore, that gets the limelight, let me be very candid. But even within E, some of the elements which have not got the limelight have been muted, things like biodiversity or resource utilization, which is only getting accelerated. To the specific question on social issues, you are absolutely right. Social issues sometimes are not easily quantifiable or measurable. They're easy to identify. For example, human rights, fair labor practices, living conditions, health, safety, wellness, diversity, equity, work-life balance, empowerment, community engagement, philanthropy, volunteerism in your employees. So these are very clearly able to identify, but to set out a KPI in them and measure how you have moved the needle on each of them sometimes is more internal to the company and not getting, even if there is a lot of initiatives internally, not getting reflected or communicated to a larger stakeholder. So I would sometimes say that they are reported maybe in the board meetings to the board in a presentation, but it is not shared across the larger group of stakeholders, which today is becoming relevant. While on the E side, if somebody makes an announcement or an investment, you can easily see that, right? The whole renewable energy story or the EPR regulations on plastic or single-use plastic, you hear a lot of them in the newsprint. So I think that is biasing some of our thing. And to be candid, it does depend, as you rightly said, on the geographies, where you are, the kind of investment it requires to take decisions on some of that. And therefore, E becomes more and more the flavor, I would
center
say.
Center focus, yeah.
Yeah, the center focus. And I'll be also candid on the governance side. Many of them have done excellent work, right? So most of the companies today would have a very clear policy around governance. And this would be around transparency, accountability, independence, ethical behavior. You will see that every company would have that. Anti-money laundering, anti-bribery, all these policies are there. The question is, are these getting communicated to a larger set of stakeholders? I think that's where we need to move the needle.
Okay. All right. On that note, Samitosh, thanks a lot for that deep dive conversation. I'm sure our listeners are got some sense about how the ESG investment works. Thanks a lot once again for giving your time.
Thank you. Thank you, Nashreen.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HT Smartcast.